Okay. We're up to Sif Yud Tes. Sif Yud Tes talks about a different kind of physical vesis. One kind of physical vesis we discussed in Sif Yud Zayin Yud Tes. It's called the vesis onet. A woman does something that makes a reaction of blood. Yud Tes is talking about what we call vesis haguf, as opposed to vesis kvitzer, vesis ona, vesis ones. This is vesis haguf. It means she doesn't do anything. Just she has a symptom in her body that comes along with her period. This is, okay, those of us who know a little about health, this is a very common thing. There might be a few women out there who have no physical symptoms or feelings whatsoever associated with their period, but most women have different symptoms associated with their period. Doesn't mean it's all the derech kvias veses. Some women have occasional or more or less or variable timing. Not every woman necessarily has a veses. She always gets this feeling exactly this amount of time before her period, etc. But most women have, you know, at least some feelings around the time of their period, at least sometimes. And theoretically, if a woman wanted to check all different things in her body, she could always find a vesis haguf like that. I mean, this is my hashara. But, you know, if you're willing to do enough measurements, you know, if you do a blood test, for example, I mean, that would be a little exaggerated practically, you can always find a vesis haguf. I'm sure that you can find, you have this much of this hormone in your blood, then you're going to get your period in, you know, 6 hours, whatever it may be. If she, you know, takes her temperature, very meduyak, etc. So, there's no need to do that. But theoretically, I bet every woman can find some simen in her guf, if she, you know, theoretically, of when she's getting her period. Now, there's no reason for anyone to do that. What you notice what you don't. Some women notice a simen in their guf. So, these simanim are considered to be very strong vestos, which makes a lot of sense, because a symptom, we'll see, the Tazigan says later, a symptom might even be better than a pattern of days. After all, it's mamish, a physical sign of your vesis. Yes?
Then I read a
seven-minute
thing. Does a woman need to be paying attention?
So for sure a woman doesn't have to do all kinds of tests to, like, discover things about her body. That's ridiculous. If she wants to, she can. Let's say one wants to be makel and say, I don't want to keep on ordainedness and kodesh and all these other things. You know, I'll just, you know, I don't know, before I move any of my limbs in the morning, take my temperature with a special thermometer that measures, you know, down to the hundreds of degrees, and I bet she could always figure out when she'll get her period. If she wants to, she can. But she doesn't have to do measurements. But does she have to notice? I think she does have to know. You know, she has to try to pay attention to the simanim in her body, because if it's a vesis, she should try to keep track of it. We generally assume if a woman didn't notice something, we're not choshesh. Vesos to rabbanon, you know, lo mastikin reyes over, you don't assume. But a woman should pay attention. But women do. I mean, every woman knows. I mean, even if you're, nothing to do with Judaism. Every woman knows. It's part of your body. And we can't relate to this, because we're not women. But every woman knows all the different symptoms in her guf and how they relate to her period. She knows that naturally. So to ask her, well, you know what, keep track of it for halachic purposes is not really much of a tircha. Everyone knows naturally. Now, she might know naturally. I sometimes, you know, around the week before my period, feel this or that, and then it's not going to be very helpful. But if she knows naturally, no, this always, when I feel like this, I always know my period is coming, then that might be halachically relevant. So I think it is worthwhile to tell women that if they do notice something, and they would notice it without halacha, just because it's part of your body, like, why do you not notice it? They should try to see how it translates into halachic, into halachic categories. Let's just read it inside. Yishkavas vesel yemikram she'iru begufa kigon shemif ahekes. Now, the fahekes, the first example always in the Gemara, it's a big machlokes shonu what fahekes means. Here are three pshatim. Oh, dahenu kadosh of poshets or osav machbas kovet. When a person is tired, they like stretch. Part of yawning? I don't know if there's a word for that in English. Oh, piv machbas kovet. When they're tired, they open their mouth. That's yawning. So, you know, with yawning, you sometimes go like this. So, but I don't know what the different words are, if there are. Or that's two pshatim, which are both parts of yawning. Or three, kadosh emotzi kol derech hagaron. So, as someone who burps. It's machlokes, rishonim, what this pshat is. But we paskin already, the Russian others say. Lemaise, it doesn't matter what the pshat of fahekes is. They're all true. Any simon, who cares if that's what nefahekes means or not? Lemaisa, they're all true halachically. Or v'chein misateshes. The next shot is itosh, sneezing, derech mata. Itosh is one of these funny words, because euphemisms always end up backfiring. because itush is sneezing, but it's a euphemism for flatulation, farting. So here he says misateshes means derech mata, but the Shach points out in Simkatan Nun Gimel that the Rambam sounds like means literally sneezing. So they mean sneezing as a euphemism for flatulation, which actually is something that's lemaisa, very connected to periods. Sometimes for some people, or does it actually mean sneezing? The answer is both, because any simon in the guf is good enough, so it'll be choshesh for all of them. Choshesh v'fi kresu v'shulmi eha, or she feels a pain in her stomach or in her reproductive organs. Oshach zuat siria kadachos, or she has chills. Osharosh v'yerek feidin aleha, or she has heaviness of her head and her limbs, right? Like her head is heavy and her limbs are heavy, all different things. But it doesn't have to be one of these. It could be anything that accompanies a period. Im yera l'sholosh ba'am rasa, if it happens three times and then she sees blood, kavo la veses, that is a kvias veses shevchol pam, she choshesh mehem l'sholosh amish. And now, from now on, whenever she has this feeling, she has to be porish from tashmish because it is a kvias veses. Yes.
And there's only Vesus Kavoi, right? There's no Ves Shana Kavoi for this kind of stuff.
There's only Vesus Kavoi in what we've read so far. There's also Ves Shana Kavoi, we just haven't gotten to that part yet.
Does it matter if this is a simon that blood is coming or that blood has already come out?
That is a fascinating question. From the poskim, once in a blue moon talk about if the blood came beforehand, it sounds like either way. Yes.
So in some of these cases, so a woman's process for burping, three times she burps, she bleeds. And that means that she's never burping any other time that she doesn't.
Correct. Burp. If in between she burped without bleeding, then it was nectar.
Well, but then how does it work for flatulence? Because everyone.
No, so the Shulchan is going to say later, it doesn't mean regular burping or regular flatulence, because that happens all the time. It means a very strong bout of burping or flatulence, which does not happen all the time. Right. Meaning, Melo, the Shulchan says, anything that happens all the time can't count. You don't even have to keep track of it. One sneeze or two sneezes or one flatulation, you don't even have to keep track of. That's ridiculous. That's coincidence. It means, sometimes people have a time when they're flatulating a lot. Sneezing a lot. I don't know if in modern day science it's associated with menstruation, but flatulating. So it means that they're going to say that later. Has to be something out of the ordinary, not something normal. Not to mention the fact that at this point, if it was something normal, the stomach would be necker every time it happened anyway. So why waste your time keeping track of it? Umihu, that's the line we're up to. Umihu, but pitego ito shel pam achas. Here we don't mean at least two. We're not talking about if it happens once or it happens three times during kavua in kavua. What we mean is even if three times, if it's only one sneeze or one flatulence, ain't a vesis nikba. That's not a vesis kavua. El shel oskin harbi pam zecherzeh. It means a long bout of sneezing or a long bout of flatulence. No, we're not talking about like how many times it happens. We're talking about within the time it happens, how many. We're not talking about how many months it happens. We mean, within the month that it happens, was it one sneeze? Ignore that. That's just coincidence. It has to be a lot of sneezes. And then, if for 3 months in a row, she had a lot of sneezing in her period, or a lot of flatulence in her period, then, hareza vesses, that's a vesses. Right? But that answers Effie's concern. And a vesses haguf doesn't have to be in a fixed time. Unlike the way we paskin about a veses kfitza, that it's only kavua if it comes at a fixed time. But a ves tagof doesn't have to have anything to do with the fixed time. It can be kavua without a fixed time. Whenever it happens, that's a veses, which actually could be common by women nowadays. There could be a certain sign in their body. They're not necessarily regular in terms of the days. But there's a certain sign in their body that's regular.
The Shach says that the reason why this
right. That's not actually an explanation. Rather, it's just a categorization.
Exactly.
Right. The explanation is because a veses that comes through ones, Chazal had a mesora. Now, it's a good question. I'm not exactly sure how science. It could be the part as a doctor, I would be able to say this in scientific terms because it does resonate with me. But Chazal had a mesora or a medical scientific observation that any veses that comes machmas ones is not really reliable. These things are not reliable patterns. In general, in science, when you do some action that makes you bleed, that's not something that lasts a long time and it happens all the time. And therefore, we're always suspicious of it and we knock it down a notch. As opposed to this. This is something very normal that happens to women their whole lives. So, again, the Shach wasn't explaining. He was just categorizing. But the explanation is that Chazal had a Mesorah, whether, I don't know if it's a Halacha Moshe Sinai Mesorah or a medical Mesorah from their doctors. But either way, I think it's a reasonable medical Mesorah. They had a Mesorah that Vesis Ones is not trustworthy. Oh, what if it happens three times? It still could be coincidence. Because we don't think scientifically that that really has staying power. And that does make sense to us. You jump and you bleed. Lamaisa, that's not as scientifically, you know, understandable as you always have a certain feeling when you bleed. So that's the difference. Then he continues, but what if it does come at a certain time? What if a woman happens to be, she sees every 35 days and has a terrible feeling in her stomach? Right? That could happen. Then it's a Vesas Morkov. Then it's a Morkov. Then there's no difference between Kvitza and Guf. If it happens to be Morkov, Kvitza and Guf are both Kovair for Morkov, and you only have to worry about it if both things happen, the feeling and the day. And if the day comes without the feeling, or the feeling without the day, you don't have to be Choshesh. What does it mean that you don't have to be choshish? Here it gets a little tricky, because there's a Beis Yosef who seems to say, says the Beis Yosef, which is quoted in the Taz Sifkaten Lamed Vav, says you don't have to be choshish like a Veses Kavua, but you still have to be choshish like a Veses She'eno Kavua. Taz points out, and the Shach implies, that that seems to be against the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Dafka should have a Veses Shnei B'yachad. Only when you have a Veses Morkov, you're not Choshesh one fact without the other. Only Tchilo Choshesh is Chol Echav B'fnei Atzma. But originally, if it's Eino Kavur, you're Choshesh for each one individually. Meaning, if once you saw in Rosh Chodesh with burping, then you're Choshesh for just burping or just Rosh Chodesh. If three times Rosh Chodesh with burping, you're only Choshesh for both of them together. But if once Rosh Chodesh with burping, because three times, it's not coincidence. It's only Rosh Chodesh and burping. But if it was once, maybe it's really the burping. It had to be Sunday of the month. Maybe it's really Rosh Chodesh and you happen to burp. So you're Chodesh for each one individually. You don't know what will happen. Maybe you'll have two more burpings without Rosh Chodesh, two more Rosh Chodesh without burping. You don't know. So let's just count. Taz are four a Mishnah Berurah. Taz are four a second. Taz are four a. What happens if you have? What happened? You know, what happened in the past and what happened in the present. So if you have Pihuk, Birosh Chodesh, and Rasa. Arrow, Rasa. Pihuk, Birosh Chodesh, Rasa, Pihuk, Birosh Chodesh, Rasa. That's Kavua, right? Now you have Kavua. In a Kavua, what happens now in the present? If you have Pihuk, Birosh Chodesh, then you're Chosheshes, you have to refrain from Tashmish. If you have Pihok, Bli Rosh Chodesh, or Rosh Chodesh, Bli Pihok, Eino Chosheshes, you don't have to worry. Oh, the Beis Yosef sounded like you did have to worry on the level of Eino Kavua, but we don't pass that way. We pass like the Ramah says straight out that you don't have to worry at all. Why? He says if Eino Kavua, you have to worry on the level of Eino Kavua. But if it's Kavua, you don't have to worry. Obviously, even on the level, ain't no Kavua. So we paskin. This is the Ramah against Beis Yosef. You don't have to worry at all. Now, let's just take the other case. What if you have... Yes, three different months. What if you have... Pihuk, Rosh Chodesh, and Rasa once, or twice. Right, once or twice makes no difference. But not three times. So now you have an Eino Kavua. What happens next if you have Eino Kavua? Pihuk Birosh Chodesh. She's Chosheshes. Pihuk Bli Rosh Chodesh. She's also Chosheshes. Rosh Chodesh Bli Pihuk. She's also Chosheshes. Meaning, it could be really Pihuk, it could be really Rosh Chodesh, it could be both them. She has to be Chosheshes for each factor separately. And what's the example the Rama says? It's just like if she sees once or twice. She's once or twice, she has to worry about Beinoness. Okay, forget Beinoness. She has to worry about Hafluga and Chodesh. If she sees three times in a pattern, she knows it's only Hafluga or only Chodesh. Likewise here, if she sees three times, she knows what the pattern is. Either it's only Pihuk, if it's different days. It's only Rosh Chodesh, if it's sometimes without Pihuk. Or it's only both. However, if she sees once, then she has to be Machmer for all the possibilities. The Pesach Tshuva quotes a Chavos Das, who it's not so clear if he's trying to defend the Beis Yosef or just trying to argue on the Shach. He argues on the Shach in a way that, I mean, he's not really arguing on the Shach. He's really making the Ha'ara the Shach would agree with. It's like nitpicking. He's saying, I disagree with your formulation. Of course, the Shach agrees with what I'm about to say in the name of the Chavos Das. He's like nitpicking the Shach. He's saying, really, you think that's true, that Rosh Chodesh will be of Eino Chosheshes? He says, not true, because that's Mefurish later on in Se'if Kafei. So let us point out the Chavos Das' asterisk. But it's not that he's really arguing on the Shach. He's saying, I don't like the way you expressed it because of my Ha'ara. But everyone knows he's right. What he's saying is Mefurish Shulchan Aruch. The Shach just says, like, I didn't intend to deny what you're saying. He says, no, what you said deny what I'm saying, but I'm right. So they have an argument whether the Shach expressed himself clearly. But there's no argument in Din. That's what I'm trying to say. No argument in Din. This Chavos Das quote in the Pesach Tshuva of Katan Chof Dalid is not an argument in Din. Even though he says I'm arguing with the Shach. What does he say? He says, but she has to refrain from Tashmish, all Rosh Chodesh, one, obviously I mean all daytime or nighttime, remember, that's not only daytime or nighttime, we're just not getting into that now, all Rosh Chodesh, one, because she could have Pihuk any minute. Meaning, when the Shach says you don't have to worry about Rosh Chodesh without Pihuk, it's not really true. If Rosh Chodesh ends, then Igloi Milsa, you didn't have to worry because it was Rosh Chodesh without Pihuk. But during Rosh Chodesh, you have to refrain from Tashmish all Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because if she's in the middle of being with her husband, all of a sudden she might have Pihuk and bleed. And that would be bad. So, and that's the Shulchan Aruch later on. So maybe that's a way to defend the Beis Yosef, although I'm not really sure. Lemaisa, add the Chavos Das, Ha'ara, which the Shach would also agree with. He would just say, I wasn't getting to that point yet, that really, whenever you have a Veses Murkav for Pihuk on Rosh Chodesh, you have to refrain all Rosh Chodesh. If you have a Veses Murkav for Kfitz on Rosh Chodesh, let her sleep with her husband all day long Rosh Chodesh. Just don't jump. What's the problem? But if she has a Veses for burping in Rosh Chodesh, what are you going to say? Let her sleep with her husband all day long. Just don't burp. It's not up to you whether you burp. That's the whole point. It's an involuntary reaction. Therefore, she has to refrain from Tashmish the whole Rosh Chodesh, lest she start burping and bleed before she has a chance to separate from the Tashmish.
So what's like the chiddush about the piyuk of Rosh Chodesh? You say they have vessels for Rosh Chodesh. Like the piyuk is an adding.
Ah, the chiddush is this. If you have a vessels Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh ends and you didn't do a bedika, you still have to do a bedika. If you have a vessels for Rosh Chodesh but piyuk and Rosh Chodesh ends and she didn't burp, she doesn't have to do a bedika. That's the difference. That's the difference, right? Meaning, during Rosh Chodesh, it's as bad as having Veses for Rosh Chodesh. But afterwards, Igloi Mil said that it was never a Veses. Okay, that is Se'if Yotes. Anything else? Ah,
That's what it says later on.
Yes, Se'if Chav Hei says this. Yes. But afterwards, if she didn't have Pihuk, then bloody milsa that it wasn't a vessus, and no bedika is necessary. So that's the difference. She has to refrain from tashlish over shchodesh because she never knows when she might start burping and it'll be too late to be purish. But she doesn't have to do bedika at all, because if she has piyok, she'll do bedika. If she doesn't have piyok, then it turned out that it wasn't a vessus. Okay. Before I point out something very lamaisadic, let me just point out some differences between Veses Kfitza and Veses Haguf. What are some differences between Veses Kfitza, Veses Ones, or Kfitza, and Veses Haguf? In one case, I think there aren't differences. I mean, maybe there's some technical differences. Case one is if she has three times Morkav im Yamin. Three times it happens on the same day. Let me put that even. If it happens three times, meaning on the same day. By same day, I mean either Chovish or a Flog or whatever it would be. Then they're basically the same. It's Kavua for Morkav. Right? Basically the same. Kavua for Morkav. Kavua for Morkav. There's one technical difference, however. The technical difference is that here, technically, she can be Mishamish on the day as long as she doesn't jump, which is what I'm about to write as Chavos Das. And here, technically, it's really the exact same as Morkav. She can't be Mishamesh on the day because she might, let's use the example of burp, right? Even though not such a common example nowadays, right? Maybe being nauseous is a better example nowadays. So that's just technical, because one is voluntary, one is involuntary. So if you have a Veses Morkav, and it's for Kfitza, just don't jump and sleep with your husband. If you have a Veses Morkav for Pihok, you can't say just don't burp and sleep with your husband. What if you start burping? And therefore, you have to refrain. That's not such a big difference. What's the big difference? The way we paskin, I'm only doing the way we paskin. Three times, there's no pattern of days. Then in this case, Veses Haguf, you have a Veses Haguf, that's Kavua, without days. Because Veses Haguf is strong and be Kavua without days. But in this case, you have no Veses Kavua, because Veses Machbos On is not Kavua. You're just Choshesh L'Kfitza, Kimo Veses She'eno Kavua. As we saw, one can be Kavua, the other can't. What's another Nafkamina? The other Nafkamina is what we said here. What if it happens once? What if it happened only once or twice? Right? Once or twice being the same halacha point. Then, what did we just learn? By Veses Haguf, you're Choshesh for Veses She'eno Choshesh LeVeses She'eno Kavua Gam LeVeses Haguf Lechud VeGam LeYom Lechud. Meaning, that's what the Machar just says. If it happens once, you have to be Choshesh Eino Kavua of just the day, and Choshesh Eino Kavua of just the symptom. What do we learn? If it happens once with Kfitza, then Ein Eina Chosheshes Klal Lo LeYom VeLo LeKfitza. Right? It gets knocked down one peg. She's not Choshesh at all. If she has Kfitza and sees once, she's not Choshesh at all, not even Eino Kavua, not even for the day, not for Kfitza, not for anything. That's the Shachat of Kutnam and Ches. He adds something that's not obvious, not even for the day, Luchud. Okay, these are a few big differences. There's another difference, which I saw, which we're going to get to. Okay, let me cheat. And I will say something that we didn't get in the Shulchan Aruch yet. What if you have the a thing? How do you say a thing that's kolo? Kvitsa emphasis, like a thing. The erua? Yeah. Right? The maisa? It's not a maisa. Is burping a maisa? Yeah, okay, let's see. Maisa, berosh chodesh, verasa. Maisa, berosh chodesh, verasa. And then she has maisa, be'erev rosh chodesh, velo rasa, verasa, berosh chodesh. Right? Be easier if I had Shabbos on Sunday. Right? Meaning, do we say flexibility in the kvitz of esmol counts or not? We saw earlier in Se'if Yud Zayin that it's a machlokas, right? And the shach sounded like he was machmir. But what do we say in Veses Ones? Lefi hamechaber kava liyamim bilvad. Right? You don't count the kvitz of the esmol. Right? The Maisa, it's a suffix, whether it's Yom and Bilvad or Morkav. However, we'll see when it comes to Veses Aguf, which is stronger, we're going to see in Se'if Chaf. You know what? Why don't we read Se'if Chaf? Nothing terrible happened. Read Se'if Chaf together. Pia Kashtepam Rosh Chodesh Rasa. She burped twice on Rosh Chodesh and saw. Vacharka Pia Kashlo Rosh Chodesh Rasa. And then burped on a random day, I don't know, on Chaf Zion and saw. Now it's a beirah that Rosh Chodesh is coincidence, and it's piyuk, and she has a regular vessel for piyuk. Or for the third time, she saw Rosh Chodesh without burping. Then we see the piyuk was coincidence, and it's Rosh Chodesh. Ella Rosh Chodesh. Ella piyuk a shtei pam Rosh Chodesh. Upon shlishis piyuk of a chav test the Chodesh below rasa Rosh Chodesh rasa below piyuk. What I said on the board. Third time she had piyuk on erev Rosh Chodesh and didn't see, and then on Rosh Chodesh saw without another piyuk. Kavala of Vessel, the Pesha Rosh Chodesh. She used Kaveah for a murk of a Piyuk and Rosh Chodesh with a little flexibility. She had Piyuk shall ask small girl on the Riyah Shah Rosh Chodesh. Because yesterday's Piyuk caused the Riyah Rosh Chodesh, meaning Afilu, Afi Hamechaber, Kava, Veses Morkav, Le Piyuk, Virosh Chodesh. This is the rule called Piyuk the Esmol. Garamla. Right? We say, do we say, well, since the piyuk was yesterday that chose the piyuk as coincidence in Rosh Chodesh? No, since piyuk is much stronger than kvitza, kulialma, even the machaber says, no, it's piyuk on Rosh Chodesh. Just the piyuk is allowed to come one day beforehand and still affect Rosh Chodesh, and still count as piyuk on Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the shach points out. This is a stira to resentence of Yitzai. No, that's Veses. Kvitza, and this is Veses Aguf. Veses Aguf, this is one of the many ways that's stronger than Veses Kvitza. This one is not a way that's stronger. This one was just a technical thing. But these three things are ways that it's stronger. I'll point out the Vade Shulchan says himself Misvara in Sivkat Kuf Tzadiches. But he doesn't quote from the Chronim. He just thinks it's a Svara. Another way in which Veses Aguf is stronger. But I think it's a very good Svara. I think, you know, I don't know if he needs my approval. But I think it's a very good story. He's absolutely right. We learned in the Pesachim Shuv Sukkot and Chaf that let's take the following case. What if you had three times the Maisa V'achar Shlosha Yamim Rasa? Not Esmol. If you had three times the Maisa and then she always saw the next day, then we say that's Koveya by both. What if she had three times the Maisa and 3 days later saw? So the Pisgei Tshuva sentence of Kut and Chaf, noting that it says, Dafka b'kvitz sal esmol. But if it's Kama Yamim, then we say that is coincidence. So says the Pisgei Tshuva, Siv Kut and Chaf, B'shem v'noda b'huda, lo kava veses kvitza. Nope, it's not a veses kvitza. It's coincidence. Or if it happened in certain days of the month, it's only the days of the month. It's not a veses kvitza. However, says the Badei HaShulchan, not quoting anyone, just saying that, Sivkat and Kof Tzadiches, kava veses hagof. Because that's the way the goof works. Sometimes it could be. I'm not saying this happens to everyone. Usually it's very vague. Sometimes it could be. A woman says, I have a certain symptom. I mean, I don't know how this is most symptoms. Theoretically, every case. I have this feeling, and whenever this feeling, 4 days later, I get my period. I'm not saying it's such a common thing, but it scientifically makes sense. So he says, since Vesa goof is stronger, it could be any time period. I don't care if it's like 2 weeks later and get my period. That's actually not a crazy thing. If you could probably, I bet you could do a blood test and like some result 2 weeks later you'll get your period. Okay? That's valid. It's a Vesa goof. We wouldn't say that about kvitsa. If someone did gymnastics, did somersaults, and 2 weeks later got her period 3 times in a row, we'd say that's coincidence. Give me a break. I can't work so far apart. But with Vesa goof, it can work so far apart because that's the goof as a process. Okay, so those are all the ways in which Vesa goof is stronger than Vesa kvitsa. Now I want to go back to very, very lamaisa. Now I'll tell you again, most women nowadays don't have a noticeable Vesa goof. Meaning most women will say, nah, I don't really feel my period coming. Or they'll say, yes, sometimes I feel something, but you know, but it's not a fixed pattern. Or, you know, I feel something, it could just means like sometime in the next week, but it's not like a fixed distance from it. But many women have a fixed Vesa goof, and then that's actually very convenient for them, because instead of having to calculate Vesos based on the calendar, which are ultimately, most of them are stabs in the dark, right? Chodesh, maybe, but who says? And a Flaga, maybe, but who says? And Onabain is just Xera. They'll know exactly when they get in their period, and they'll keep the halacha according to the spirit of the law with, you know, really accurate knowledge.
You say that Vesa goof is
maybe heavier than Maharam Kasha nowadays? So the Tzitz Eliezer, based on the Maharam Shik, based on his shot in the Rambam, but basically it's nowadays, the Tzitz Eliezer, if you allow nowadays to include, you know, when I was your age, right, that happened in so many years. The Tzitz Eliezer follows the direction of, back in Europe, the Maharam Shik, who says that really, hargosha means Vesa goof. And that's how we solve the problem. How come women don't have a hargosha nowadays? He says they do. Most women have some vesas in their goof. Certainly most. So, lemaisa, we do not assume that way. The problem is that even though the Rambam, there's some place which could be taken as hinting this, in the Gemara, it really seems like the parts of the Gemara with hargosha and the parts of the Gemara with Vesa goof are not connected. Don't share any texts, don't share any shaklavatarya, don't share any wording. They seem to be two different concepts in the Gemara. So they say in the Rambam, maybe he's conflating them. But in the Gemara, it really seems like Vesa goof and hargosha are two separate things. Vesa goof is something that you sometimes feel that's not like directly in where the blood comes out, directly in the mukher. And hargosha is something you feel mamish in the mukher, or right near the mukher. We assume that Vesa goof and hargosha are two separate things. Even if she always flatulates for 10 minutes before she gets her period, that's not a hargosha, that's a Vesa goof. Yaakov.
Does it specifically have to be something physical, or can she have a specific emotional?
You have an emotional Vesa goof? It's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention an emotional Vesa goof, but Niralani is daiti that, again, obviously, just like sneezing. Emotional Vesa goof can't mean she gets annoyed by something her husband does, because that's something that happens to all women all the time. Hopefully most of the women, they don't take it too far. She gets upset when she reads the news. Everyone gets upset when you read the news. But it means like a significant emotional, as we know, some women have very significant emotional side effects. Menstrual symptoms. So I think that could also be Vesa goof. She's a pattern. She knows. She always has this very unusual feeling, and it's always exactly the time of the month, and always predicts her period. Then I think that's a Vesa goof, even though I haven't seen it in writing. I know maybe you have to look at the modern day books.
Is there any possibility of Vesa's more cup of onus and goof, like every time she jumps? If she jumps, she has a doubt.
It's a good question. I haven't found it in the Sfarim, but I think so, theoretically. I don't see why not. I don't know if you're ever going to find it in real life, but theoretically, I don't see why not. Whenever I do this and I feel that, I get my period. I think so. I just haven't found the mukher, and I'm not convinced it's going to be so practical, but I think so. You never know. I mean, it's for sure going to one person to be there. There's always one person who does everything. I think so. Neuralinase, Dagda, Shikin. Yeah.
If you can check with a blood test and get a Vesta goof, so that would like uproot other Vestos,
yeah.
Right? That would give us kavua. So can you see it?
I mean, it's not worth it. It's a big pain.
No, I'd say it's easy for someone.
I mean, it's...
I'm saying it's
okay.
Easy
for you.
Let's say do like a finger.
It's easy
thing.
For you. What?
I'm saying let's say it's one of those little finger things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they have them.
It could save 2 days and
correct.
A calculation every month.
And a hanami. And a hanami. I'm telling you, she could probably even do it with a basal body temperature, I bet. Even without a blood test. I haven't tried any of these
Why
things.
Why didn't you catch on?
Because, like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, what's the big deal? She could 3 days every month in the Vestos. First of all, assuming we don't have chumras, it's either 3 daytimes or 3 nighttimes. If it's 3 daytimes, then it's not such a sacrifice in terms of tashmish, right? Because may loss will shamish beyom except for, you know, except for the exceptions. If it's nighttime, half the time, chodesh and beinus are the same day anyway, right? So it's really 2.5 nights. And it's 2.5 nights, you know, in advance, right? So it's not like, oh, you can have less tashmish because you missed these 2.5 nights. Okay, like if you know it's going to be the vestas, then shamish the night. I think the real reason is because, like, it's not such a big deal to keep 2.5 vestos a month. I don't think. And, you know, keep in mind also, like, meaning it's not going to affect your fertility or anything, right? You're not getting pregnant that time of the month anyway. So, like, what's the big deal? Cochneurolinius diet. Yeah, people are happy with how it is.
There are another thing to say. Is he saying that if a woman always had a vestus of Yonim and then vestus of like started to also, that she would or would not be cautious?
I don't think he's talking about that. He's talking about, he's contrasting having a vestus 3 times with Morkov versus just once having it, mitchila. He's not talking about if you used to have one and then you changed to another. But theoretically, what would happen if, let's, again, if she always had haflug of 33, then once she had a flug of 33 with flatulence, then it would obviously the kavua is the 33, the flatulence is not the factor. What if she once had kavua of 33, if she always had kavua of 33, and then 1 month saw on 32 with flatulence, a shinoi, then lechora, next month she'd have to be choshish for the kavu of 33, and for the eno kavu of 32, and for the eno kavu of flatulence, and for the eno kavu of the yom chodesh, because she had a shinoi. But I don't think that's what the Rambam's talking about. He's contrasting kavu of morka with betchila, with like no history. Okay, one very important thing. Let's read together the Pesach Tshuvah of Gimel. Al yei mikrim. The Gemara chashav nami shofas dam tomim tok dam tar. The Gemara is another Pesach Tshuvah. What if you have, anyone know what dam tame and dam tahar means? Translate that into practical terms?
Post-pregnancy.
No, that's dam tohar. Good, I was waiting for someone to make that mistake, so you're going to remember it better if someone makes the mistake and then I embarrass them, right? So, sacrifice for the greater good. There's a difference in dam tohar and dam tohar in halachic language, right? Not in the Chumash. But dam tohar means the blood a woman after having a boy from day 8 to 40, 33 days, shloshim yom shloshim yamim teshev bnei tahara, or after having a girl from day 15 to day 80, shishim yom shishim yamim teshev bnei tahara. That's a special gzeras hakasov, that even though she has regular, I don't know if you call it menstrual, but regular uterine bleeding, it's tahara pi gzeras hakasov. It's not the machlokes Rav and Levi, whether it's because it's physiologically different or just exeris akasav. And we paskin that physiologically, it's the same as any other blood. It's just exeris akasav tahor in this time. Nowadays, we have a minhag that bermatame it anyway, alpi minhag. But alpi din, you know, in the days of the Rambam still, many people were matare it. That's dam tohar.
What were the days again
for a boy? For a boy, 8 to 40, and for a girl, 15 to 80. And this is all Mefurs Pesukim in Chumash, although I did an informal survey once, and most random Orthodox Jews have no idea what those Pesukim mean. Probably because we have a minhag not to follow those Pesukim. Right? Keep in mind, what do the Pesukim mean? For 7 days after boy Thomas Nida, and then 33 days, even if she bleeds, get out of jail free. For 40 days after a girl Thomas Nida, and for the next 66 days, even if she bleeds, get out of jail free. Of course, nowadays, we keep neither of these. Since we have Chumad Rabbi Zeira, after having an anything, you need Shivan Akiyam, which takes more than 14 days. So there's no enough community being tummy 7 or 14 days, because you're tummy for more days than actually mean shivan nikiyim, because the chum grows zera. And so we don't keep the days of tumah, meaning we do, but there's not enough to mean the day. We don't notice keeping the days of tumah. And we don't keep the days of tara, because we have a minhag not to be machmir for some reason. So lemaisa, that's probably why no one understands them, because we don't keep them nowadays. But that's at least the din d'oraisa. Now, that is different in the poskim's language from dam tahor. Dam tahor in the language of the poskim means it's not red. It's a tahor color. Back to kuf beiches means non-red. I mean, like you bring it to the rabbi there, he says, oh, that's not red, that's yellow. That's dam tahor. Okay, and the truth is here, even in the Gemara, the Gemara has this language. So that's important to keep that distinction in mind. So, the says the Piskei Tshuva, the Gemara chashu nami shepas dam tomei toch dam tahor. If she bleeds red blood after bleeding, you know, yellow blood. It's not blood. She has red discharge after having non-red discharge. Yes?
What do we call Damaka Damtara?
No. Damaka is not called either of these things. It's called Damaka. It's also Mutter, but it's not called either of these phrases. Yes, but I'm not talking about halacha, I'm talking about phrases. Like jargon. The Damaka is also tar, but it's not either of these in jargon. Like, you would not call Damaka any either of these words. You would say it's damaka. So these words are not all the mutter things. Right? Dam tahor means the mutter thing based on the days after having a baby. Dam tahor means mutter because it's not red.
The dam of kusamu part?
What?
The dam of kusamu are considered to not be problematic.
They're not called any either of these. A kesem that's not problematic might be called a kesem tahor, but you wouldn't call it dam tahor or dam tahor. Usually the poskim won't call it kesem dam, they'll call it kesem, because the Gemara says kesem is not dam. In jargon. I don't mean it's not physically blood. Okay, so, the Gemara says one of the examples is, she has yellow discharge followed by red discharge. That happens three times. We know the yellow discharge is a ves sagof that says the red is coming. Okay, I apologize by my examples of yellow and red. Here we're talking about in the days of the Gemara, when they were only mitame four shades of red, remember? So you had, like, the good kind of red followed by the bad kind of red. It says, why did they leave it out? Ah, because nowadays, we're mitame all the reds. So that's not a good example. But he says, Venev Shua said, there is an example nowadays. Not a mutter red followed by an usher red, but a mugla, a mucus that's not red. My example, a non-red followed by a red. Now, why is this relevant? Because this is a very, very common vesagof nowadays. Many women, right before their period comes, will have staining that is a questionable color, a mutter questionable color, right? They'll have, all month long, a woman will get different color discharges, and every woman's different. But it could be a woman all month long, maybe she won't have any discharges, of white, light yellow, etc. Right before a period, it starts to get a little darker yellow-brownish. And then it segues into reddish-brown. Right? So, right before her period, she's like, oh, I see this stain. It's a tahor color. But I know it means my period's coming. That's a ves sagof. And the reason why I make a big deal out of this, that's a super-duper common ves sagof nowadays. It's very common for women. Oh, of course they know their period's going to start very soon. Because whenever they see this color that's almost red, they know that in a few hours, it's going to turn red and their period's going to start to flow. Very, very common nowadays. And therefore, that would be a ves sagof. Another example might be, and here is not, this is not discussed in the Piskei Tshuva, often, that's color. Often there can be an issue of amount. We know there's a din called ksamen, which we haven't seen yet, until Simon Kovtzadi. Matter of fact, it'll be a long time until we see it, because they have to have a fin in between. But those of us who are married know that if a woman not doing a bedika inside finds something, but she sees a spot in her underwear, she doesn't find it in her body, she finds it in her underwear, that's called a kesem, and that's only tumen drabanan, and it's only tumen if it's bigger than a grist, the bean they had in the old days, a penny. So sometimes, what if a woman finds mamish red in her underwear, but it's smaller than a penny. Then it's mutter. Then it's mutter. What if a woman's... Hold on a second. Whenever I find the red smaller than a penny on my underwear, you know what that means? That means that in a few hours, it's going to be a big flow of dam. Because it means my period's really starting. Just halachically, it doesn't qualify. So halachically, she's tahara. But it's a vesagof, because it means her period's coming. Right? So basically, when you have a suspicious color that's mutter, or a red that's mutter, often, for many women nowadays, that means the period's coming very soon.
Has this been the Chavistasim said before? About, we don't know when you're going to...
No, the Chavistasim is only if it happens morkav with days.
With days.
Yeah, I'm talking about if it's not morkav with days. Right? And because most women are not so regular with days nowadays. Owen says, I have no regular pattern of days. Sometimes 29, sometimes 32, sometimes 34, whatever it may be. You know, but... You know, I always have like this yellowish brown, this darker brown than usual color, and then get my period 12 hours later. And that's a vesta guf. Or she says, I always have tiny red spots that the rabbi says is okay for his technical reasons, based on his halachos, but that's the beginning of my period. It just means soon it's going to be more blood. So the rabbi's right. The technical halachos are ratzkoveya. It's taka not nida, but it is a vesta guf. From this developed a widespread minhag nowadays. I haven't found this minhag in Sfarim from two generations ago, but it's a widespread minhag in all the velts that I've seen nowadays. I haven't checked all the velts. No, I didn't ask for the Samar Chassid to do. But in all the velts that I'm all connected to nowadays, they've developed a widespread minhag based on the following Svara. The Svara is, if a woman has questionable maros, and they're mutter because of the color... but suspicious, they're mutter because of the size, but suspicious, whatever it might be. It's so common nowadays that that's a precursor of a period that we, if every woman paid proper attention, it might taka be a real vesas hagof. And therefore, but women don't pay attention so much. If the woman did pay attention, then she'd go, but... So therefore, they developed the general minhag poskim nowadays. The minhag poskim is, if a woman has a shaila that is suspicious, but mutter, but it's suspicious of, like, you know, it's going to be a period, then the minhag is that she's porish from tashmish for the one night. Midin... approximating the rules of Vestos Alpi Minhag. Technically, you would say, no, let's see exactly what you saw and exactly what it looked like for the last few months and make a pattern, etc. But that's not always practical because she didn't write it down. And, you know, is it this Ona? Is it the next Ona? Is it two Onas late? So the Misa, we developed a Minhag, which is just approximates the rules of Vestos in a common sense way, which is that you see something that's often what you see right before you start bleeding mamish period flow. Refrain from tashmish for one night. Miman of shach. Either you'll be clean for 24 hours, and then you see that it was just coincidence, it was nothing, because once you're clean for 24 hours, then it's not the beginning of your period, and then you go back to tashmish. Or your period, you know, or your period will start in 24 hours, then it's a good thing you refrain from tashmish, because once be caught in the middle of tashmish by a period. Or you'll have more of those spots in 24 hours. Okay, then you'll be porish another night, and see what happens. That's the minhag poskim nowadays. It's a very widespread minhag, and it makes a lot of sense because it's just an approximation of the dinim of Vestos without having to have all the information at hand. Now, this doesn't mean they have to refrain from touching. Because remember, Vesas doesn't aser harchokos. A Vesas only asers tashmish. So the minhag is to refrain from tashmish in this case. The minhag is that we don't require a bedika in this case. Okay, because we're not ready to call it a Vesas Kavua, and Vesas She'enu Kavua doesn't necessarily require a Bedika. And, you know, the Maisa, she'll probably find out what happens sooner or later. But to refrain from Tashmish, because who wants to finish Tashmish and then see blood all over and be caught in the middle of Tashmish? And that's, you know, and especially if maybe you should have been more careful, and how do you know if you should have been more careful, maybe you should have kept track of things, etc. So that's the minhag poskim nowadays. Obviously, this is applied with common sense. Meaning, if it's very, very clear that, for example, let's say all month long the woman has these little spots. Okay, but say that, first of all, that shows it's not starting a period, it's just some very weird thing. And also, what are you going to do? But it's a man, and it's hard to say it's a chiyuv gomer, but nonetheless, it's a proper minhag poskim. That's what I always tell people who ask me. Someone says, I have this and that. I say, really, it's mutter, but you should refrain for 24 hours. Generally, 24 hours is just one night, right? 24 hours can never have two nights in it. You should refrain from tashrish for 24 hours to see how it develops. Not that you're a nida, but it's like a vesis. You don't separate the beds. You don't keep our chakos. Just refrain from tashrish to see what happens, to be on the safe side. So that's the minhag poskim nowadays based on this pesachim tshuva.
And just to clarify, so if a woman, let's say, sees, like we were saying, a small drop of blood that not yet a gris, and that usually precedes a period, when does the vesa begin? That would begin when she ordinarily would see that period actually coming? Like,
let's say she kept track, then it would
be whenever it usually starts.
Yeah, but most women don't keep track, so the rabbi would just say refrain from 24 hours.
Right away.
Yeah, right away. If you're clean for 24 hours, then that drop was nothing. If you get your period in 24 hours, then you had your period. And if you have more spotting like that in 24 hours, you're praying for another 24 hours and see what happens. That's the general minhag poskim.
These questionable marot, are there objective signs that a poskim knows to look out for? Or it's a woman tells you, I normally see this before my period.
If you have experience, you can know. And the truth is, you have this woman. So if a woman says, this is the color I see all month long, then it's not suspicious, right? But if you have experience, you can usually tell. Say, like, is this a color you see all the time, or is this a color that you often see before your period? If this is not a color she sees all the time, and it's already a brown, a darker brown, then I would be machmer. I would keep this minhag. Unless she absolutely knows that. No, she never, unless she has information. But in general, if it's something that doesn't happen all the time, that's a darker brown, or certainly if it's red, just you get off on the technicality of summon, then I would keep this minhag. That's the minhag poskim, which is not written in Shulchan Aruch, but is based on it. One second. Yeah, get the board, please. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go weiter.
Chaf Aleph. Piyaka b'rosh chodesh. V'rasa v'chadr piyaka b'mosoch miyachodesh. She had once had a piyaka b'rosh chodesh, and she saw blood. Then she had a piyaka without rosh chodesh. We know what the rule is. I already put it on the board. Once had piyaka rosh chodesh, and then she had piyaka without rosh chodesh. She's chosheshes.
Obviously, at the level of Enu Kavua. If only happened once, clearly the level of Enu Kavua. So that's what he should say. Vasur l'shamish ad shetivdok. She's not lugging tashmish to bedika shkalvesis. Ben shal yom ben shal gof. Choshesh lo v'amachas. Any vesis with a yom or gof, you're choshesh. The Enu Kavua at one time. V'yishlofa shem take vesis lo piyok. Maybe she's on her way to a vesis of piyok that blows man. Maybe it's a pure piyok. She's on her way. So she's choshesh the Enu Kavua. The imbud covenant is lora. So what if she checks and she did piyuk, but she had no blood? And because she was ochre, because she was ochre once, would be a grade of a choshesh as a rosh chodesh in particular, rosh chodashim. Right? If then she has piyuk and checks and there's nothing, that eliminates the piyuk. Once is ochre. She still has to worry about rosh chodesh until she has one rosh chodesh. What is the problematic word in this machaber? What do you mean she's usher and tashmish tobadika? You should say, she's usher and tashmish, during that time period. But what do you mean she's usher until she does bedika? Like, if the veset ends, she's usher until bedika? That's only in kavua. Veset in kavua, if it ends without bedika, you're fine. So why would the mechaber say this case? Right, what did the mechaber say? Mechaber sif chaf aleph. What did he write? Sorry, I'm going to make you work again. Mechaber sif chaf aleph says, Asura l'shamesh ad shetivdok, or at least some words similar to that. And that doesn't make any sense, because in Eino Kavua, you're ushering Tashmish now. But afterwards, if you forgot you to do Bedika, you could shash that Bedika. The Tazir even seems to hold like Beis Yosef, like very well, the Paschal, even the Chachili, you don't need to do Bedika. Okay, even our Minhag that we hold like the Prisha, we do Bedika in Eino Kavua. But you're not ushering until Bedika. If you didn't do it, you're fine. This creates a tremendous machlokas. What does this mean? Machlokes in the Taz and everyone else. Says the Taz, he says this is a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Bivesesh eino kavua divestos
Haguf im lo budka asura ad shetiv. Even though we've learned that a bivesa she'enu kavua, there's no iser b'dieved. Vesa haguf is worse than hafloga and yum and everything else. It's more chomer than vesa hafloga. Vesa hafloga with enu kavua. If you missed it, you missed it. Move on with your life. Vesa haguf is not just more chomer than kfitza. It's more chomer than yamim. It's more chomer than Rosh Chodesh. It's more chomer than Afloga. It's more chomer than Oreb Beinis. It's more chomer than anything. Even Eino Kavua has a chumra of, it's uprooted once, but it has a chumra like Kavua that b'di'eved, she's usher until she does b'dika.
But you say that's Kaddish by all Vestas Aguf or only by Pew?
By all Vestas Aguf. By all Vestas Aguf.
So he thinks that, I'm just looking at the Taz here, he thinks it's Derech HaTevah B'Isha to do all Vestas Aguf with Shatri Ata,
Yes. Now, again, he would probably say only something in the guf that other people in human history have recorded happening during the time of their period, right? Minastam. Otherwise, he wouldn't be so machmir, right? But all the things mentioned in the Gemara or other things that doctors know nowadays, I think he would say, right? And this is a big finish. It's more chamor than veses hayomim. That's a big finish of the Taz, although it seems to be Pashup Shad in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the other Achronim disagree with the Taz. They say, nope, I understand you have a Deacon in the Shulchan Aruch. I understand you're the most Pashup Shad in the Shulchan Aruch. That's too big of a finish. To say Eino Kavua has an Isra B'dieved until B'dika, too big of a finish. We don't accept that. Lemaisa, we don't accept the Taz. Who doesn't accept the Taz? The Nekudat Zekesef says. The Nekudat Zekesef disagrees with the Taz. Not only the Nekudat Zekesef, if you look at the Torah Shlomim here, Sifkaton Mem Aleph, he quotes the Bach, who also disagrees with the Taz. The Bach didn't know that the Taz was right. He just disagreed with this possibility. And the Prisha also disagreed with the Taz. Everyone gave a different Perish to this. No one agreed with the Taz. Okay, what other Perish are you going to say? So there are two possibilities. What's the other Perish? Two possibilities are both Dachuk. The Taz is the best shot in the Mechaber. But, and the Mechaber's not his, the Mechaber's not his own Lashon. Right? The Mechaber is quoting. Sorry, let me just find it for a second. Vasur l'shamash ha-shetivto. The Mechaber is quoting the Torah. Right? And the Torah is quoting the Rosh. It's Rishonim. The Taz is the best pshat. But all the Achronim reject it. Ah, so what does it mean, Asura ha-shetivto? So, what does it mean, Asura ad Shetivdok, says the Taz, Kipshuto, Asura ad Shetivdok. We reject the Taz. Also, what does the Mechaber, who's not just the Mechaber, who's quoting the Rishonim, mean? So here there's two pshat. And the Shach in the Kudus HaKesef says it means Asura l'shamesh miyad ad Shetivdok. He means, of course, when the Veset ends, she's mutter without a bdika. But it means, if she wants to have tashmish right when the burping ends, she burped for 20 minutes. Now she wants to have tashmish 30 seconds later, then she needs a bdika. You're right, an hour later would be fine. But right away is still very close to the Veses. Very close to the Veses, she needs a bdika. Okay, meaning, during the Veses, she can't be mishamish at all. After the Veses, she can be shamash without bedika. It's the Enu Kavua. But right after the Veses, she needs a bedika. That's the Chiddush of the Shach that he reads into this Mechaber. Big Chiddush. The Bach and the Prisha say a different pshat. The Bach and the Prisha, they're quoted in the Torah Shlom. The Torah Shlom says the Prisha gave a gazillion pshatim. But in the end, he liked the Bach's one. And he didn't know it was the Bach. But in the end, he liked the Bach's one. They say it's a little bit of a duchik. They say, really, It just means that lechatchila tzricha livdok. It doesn't literally mean she's usher until she does bedika. It's just an exaggerated lashon. It really means, doesn't bidi eved, she's usher and tashmish for the rest of her life till she does bedika. No, it means lechatchila tzricha livdok. Bishas haveses. Meaning lechatchila she should do bedika when she burps. But you're right. Afterwards, she doesn't have to do bedika. I know it's a dachim shadim. Well, that's that she's usher until she does bedika. It's usher for her lechatchila to like not care, and she should do bedika. Okay, so you see, well, everyone else's pshat is dachim. The Taz's pshat is much more pasha pshat, but the mice, we don't pass like the Taz.
When we say vesa shen kavua for vesa guf, does that mean it's a vesa guf that's kavua just without with days?
No.
Or just
means it only happened once.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about here. It only happened once, right? That's Chaf Aleph. It only happened once. She had one pihuk and bled. Next time she has pihuk, it's only in a kavua. So if she doesn't bleed, it's uprooted once. But what should she do meanwhile? She should do a bedika, and she's asur until she does a bedika. Why? It was only happened once. So the Taz says big chumra. Even once makes an isher b'di'eved because vesa guf is so chumra. And everyone else says no. The Shach says no. It means if she wants to do a bedika miyad, if she wants to be mishamish miyad, she needs bedika. But you're right. If she waits a few hours, she doesn't. And the Bach and the priest says it doesn't mean bedieva. She's also without bedika. It means lechachila. She should not want to matter herself without bedika. And lechachila, she should bedika in the time. But bedieva, she doesn't have to.
According to the Shach, what does that mean miyad? Isn't that her?
So here, this is going to depend on the whole Shulchan Aruch Sif Chaf Dalet, but I think his example is this. Let's say the first time she only bled during the pihok. The next time she only has to refrain from tashmish during the pihok. And therefore, during the pihok, she's usher in tashmish. 10 minutes after the pihok, she's mutter in tashmish. What if she was with Mishamish 10 seconds after the pihok? Then it's so close that she needs a bedika, which is an entirely new scenario that was never discussed before. The Shach is reading into this. But he wants to give a pshat. Taz is the best pshat. But we don't paskin like him. That's life.
Great. Yeah, it sounds like the concern of the Shach is that if you do it right after the end of the pihok, well, she might still have more pihokim to come. And that's why... That's what I assume. It's like, yeah,
that's interesting. Then she might have more pihukim to come. And maybe that's why you need bedika. That's a chiddush that bedika even helps.
Right, so that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, and the problem is it's not really so clear what he's talking about. Although you go by having your other pihuks over. It's a tricky one. Not sure. I hear your taina. Then it's a chiddush the other way. Then it's a chiddush the kula. But you have a good point. How do you ever know when the piyuk's done? If you wait a long time, then it's already muflah. So maybe that's what he means. It's a chiddush that if you're not sure if the piyuk's done or not, do a bedika. You hear that taina, Mickey? He says, how do you know the piyuk's over if it's miyat? So if you're in the middle of piyuk, Asur l'shamish, across the board. If it's vaday over, muteris across the board. What if you're not sure if it's over or not? Maybe that's when you need a bedika. I like that pshat. It's a chiddush, but we know the shach, it's a chiddush.
It's my memory, Mickey asked before, but is the shach saying that she's also l'shamish miyad unless she does a bedika?
Yes. Yes. Precisely. Okay. Chaf beis. V'chinetin b'yamin. And piyaka hayom v'piyaka l'sof shloshim, meaning yamin, meaning haflaga, right? By yamin means haflaga as opposed to chodesh. Chinat din b'haflaga, I would have written. If she has piyuk and bleeds today, and then has piyuk and bleeds after 30, m'defayka filish yom shloshim, choshesh l'oto piyuk, right? This has happened once, so once you're choshesh for each factor individually. If she has piyuk on any day, you worry about that piyuk. Shema take the piyuk, right? It means she's on the way to a pure piyuk. If she has one piyuk and doesn't see, you don't have to worry about piyuk because that's been ne'akar. Maybe the piyuk was not important. It was the aflug of 30 that's important. And likewise, she has to be choshev that day of the month. Meaning, any time a woman
has piyuk and bleeds, and then has another piyuk and bleeds, she now has to be choshish for the haflaga, maybe just the haflaga, the day of the month, maybe just the day of the month, and the piyuk is maybe just the piyuk, until she makes a pattern or just uproots all of them. Chaf gimel. All these physical symptoms, you can't combine different symptoms. Has to be the same symptom three times. If it's one piyuk and two itushes, or whatever combination you want, it doesn't count. It has to be the same symptom. Now, he continues. Achlo shom v'rasa, achlo batzel v'rasa, achlo pilflin v'rasa. This is a chiddush that Rashi gets from Diyuk of the Gemara, and it's a yesh omer, but there's no other yesh omer, right? So that means the Rama paskins this way. It says the Rama, if she ate garlic and made her see, and onion and made her see, and pepper and made her see, that's not three different symptoms. That's the same symptom, because there's something called sharp foods, and therefore that counts as the same symptom, and it's koveya. That's what he quotes from the Rush. Where does Rush get this from? Because the Gemara mentions eating batzel, shom, and pilpulin. And the Rush, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that all three of them are one category.
Is there a way of deciding what's called one category here? Or just every
category? Come on, we all know that pink and ishosh are different things, but all sharp foods are the same thing.
What about all physical activities?
Nah. I, you have to use your judgment at a certain point. How do we know how to have judgment if some of these things are not really things we're used to thinking about? Not sure. You know, the Gra actually disagrees with this. Says the Gra here, in Sivkat and Lamadalad, Gemara Shalmakas Vishos, and Divir Rosh, and Mordechai Mashal, the Gimel Mini Achilus called Veses, Dvarv to move him. Lashon Rosh, Kedivir Gemara. No, the Beis Yosef thought that, the Rosh thinks of the Chiddush, the Gemara, that's not true at all. The Rosh didn't say it at all. Etc. So says the Gra, nope, this is a wrong understanding of the Rosh. Machlokes Raman Gra. Do all sharp foods count as one category? Not close to the Rama and the Gra. Lemaisa, I don't think we need to paskin this because I haven't heard nowadays that women menstruate because they eat sharp food. They eat sharp foods. Other things happen to you if you eat sharp foods. Some people, they get a stomach ache if they eat sharp foods. But I've never heard of it causing menstruation, so we don't need to paskin this. Not locus, Rama and the Gra. Okay. The Lemaisa, there's a million details here. If you look in Rabbi Kiva Eger here, and in the Pesachei Tshuva here, in the name of the Chavos Das, they get into all the fascinating combinations. How about, what if then you eat shum three times and you don't see it? Does that uproot the batzel and the pilpulin? What if you only ate shum? Does that also count for batzel, etc., etc.? What if you have two shums and one batzel? Does that count? And they compare it to all the sugyos and bavakam about the sharmur. Lemaisa, I'm not going to go into the details because machlokas whether we, according to the Gra, we don't hold like the Rama in the first place, so there's nothing to talk about. And even if we do hold like the Rama, it doesn't happen nowadays. But it's fascinating intellectual discussions.
Is it the normal rules top
group? Yes, three times. It has to be necker three times. Normal rules.
And you have to eat it again. And
exactly. Let's say on random days, she ate, forget the Rama, on random days she ate garlic three times and saw. Then, if she eats garlic three times and doesn't see, it's uprooted. What if three times she ate garlic on Rosh Chodesh and saw?
Even if she eats the next day, your biology is not going to get hurt.
That is a fascinating question.
She had to wait until she goes to the next
day. That is a fascinating question, which is not discussed by the post-gym. Meaning... That's a fascinating question which is not discussed by the post. I mean, what if she cheats? She says, I want to uproot it, so I'll eat garlic three times, you know, after, you know, I'll eat garlic 7 days after my period came, and 8 days after my period came, and 9 days after my period came. Ah, three uprootings. Seems a little cheap to us. It's a good question. What?
Same thing for kafza.
Same thing for kafza. I don't know if the post can sound like it would be a valid uprooting. The problem is, what if then again she eats garlic and sees at a normal time? At a certain point, the question is, can she have Vesas Morkov for eating garlic at least 22 days after her period?
We do that?
That is a fascinating question. I haven't found it in the post-gim. It seems to me that we might. I don't know. Sorry, not sure.
Wouldn't it be that since she didn't
fully uprooted by being tibet to confessa, that since you said that...
Oh, that's true. Then it would be, it would come back anyway. You're right. It would come back anyway. Right, because even if she uprooted three times, it happened again. But at least she wouldn't have... But one time, she wouldn't have to be choshesh. I think it sounds in the poskim like taka, at least the first time she wouldn't have to be choshesh, even though it seems a little cheap to us. It seems in the poskim like it would still be an uprooting, but it's a good question. It's a good question. Let me think about it. Okay, now, the second half of the Ramah is very fascinating. This is a big machlokas rishonim. Here he says, Beis Yosef lidas. Beis Yosef, it seems to be pretty clear, this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Yesh omrim. If you read the Beis Yosef, you say, Yesh omrim, shekoma shetel gemachol. Hold on a second. Why are we bringing in eating here? Isn't eating ones? Isn't that a veses kfitza? And aren't we now talking about veses aguf? Like, where does eating fit? Does eating go with kfitza or with pihok? What's the tut studim? On the one hand, it's an onus. It's something you do externally, so it should be like kfitza and lower level. On the other hand, it's something more internal to your body. It seems more scientifically connected. So maybe it should count. Okay, I don't have an intuition about this.
Can you play that second one again?
Because it's inside your body, so maybe we view it as stronger than kfitza.
The actual eating isn't causing... your action of chewing...
Right. The truth is that if you ask me my intuition, I would say my intuition is more like kfitza. When you jump, also it causes changes in your body that affect your hormones. It's not like the shum actually goes into the uterus and does something. Okay, but l'maisa it's a machlokes achronim yesh omer shekama shetero yidei machol dinikos shetero yidei kvitza ushar maisa shuoseh shemikir yidei ones ve'inuk vas veses elema yamin. Some people say eating is just an ones like kvitza. It can be kovei and morkav with yamin, but it can't be kovei and morkav. That's the Rashba. V'yesh omer shedinok veses shetero yidei mefur shetoso yidei mekir shemagufa v'kovaso v'inuk yamin. Some say, no, since it's inside your body, that counts like piyuk and itosh, even though it's something you did. And therefore, it's koveya even alone. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Not that I really think this happens a lot, but in the Tzach and Taz don't say how we paskin. No pisvei tshuva here. I mean, not on this part of the Ramah, but the Torah Sashlomim in Sifkatan, Mem Gimel says, "Roi lachosh l'rishneim l'achmir." Since we don't know how to paskin this, we should be machmir both ways. However, there's one thing that you eat, quote unquote, that we know scientifically nowadays affects your period. What's that?
Birth control pills.
Okay, again, I say eat, quote unquote, because it's not really chalos achila, right? You don't make a bracha. birth control pills is interesting. It's an onus. It's something that you do. But it's much more scientific than Butzel, Shum, and Pilpulin, meaning, like, we all know scientifically, it's like the most connected thing to menstruation. So what are birth control pills? So, right, well, it says, it's common sense, of course by birth control pills there's no machlokas. I mean, the Rishonim didn't discuss it because they didn't have birth control pills. But birth control pills, avada, are not like veses kfitza, they're like veses aguf. Because we all know they're the strongest thing in the entire world that's connected to when you'll get your period. Therefore, birth control pills, avade, are like a veses aguf, even though they're an onus. You force your body by taking birth control pills, but nonetheless, they're considered like veses aguf, that they're that if it happens once, that's eino kavua, if it happens three times, that's kavua, because we all know scientifically that it makes sense. What do I mean by birth control pills make you get your period? The way birth control pills work is... Now it gets much more complicated. Let's say when I was a kid, how did birth control pills work? You went to the pharmacy, you got a box with 24 pills inside, 21 were real drugs, and 7 of them were just placebo empty pills. What you did was the woman always had a 28-day cycle, what we call a hafluga of 29. She would take the birth control pills. The first 21 had the drugs which would prevent her from getting pregnant or getting her period. Then the next 7 had no drugs and would let her get her period, but it was too late in the month for her to get pregnant. Then when she finished that, she would start another 21 that would prevent her from getting pregnant and getting her period. Then 7 that would let her get her period, but it's too late to get pregnant. And that's how birth control pills worked. Nowadays, it doesn't have to be a pill.
There are things equivalent to a pill, like patch and ring, which are all just ways to get hormones into your body. Just instead of swallowing the hormones, you can put them on your body and they'll leak inside. Stick them on your body and they'll leak inside. But often the same way. Put the ring in for 21 days, take it out for 7 days. You know, put the patch on for 21 days, take it out for 7 days. Okay, so that's called the real pill and the placebo pill, or having the hormone and then stopping the hormone, right? Then, in the last 10 years, the doctors discovered that you don't actually need to have the 21 days and the 7 days. Like, originally when they made birth control pills, the doctor said, look, we have this drug. This hormone makes you not get pregnant, not get your period. But if a woman doesn't get her period, that could be very dangerous because, like, who knows what could happen to a woman without a period? That's never been tried in nature. So they said, take it for 21 days, then have 7 empty pills. Why do they have the 7 empty pills? Why not just say, don't take pills for 7 days? Because if you don't take pills for 7 days, you'll forget to start again.
Right.
The next, say, it's 7 days later, and then you might get pregnant. This way, it just keeps you in the pattern. It's all psychological. And there's a few other psychological things they do to make you not forget. People forget anyway. Okay, that's when interesting things happen. The truth is, the interesting things, by the way, are not only, I don't mean it's secularly interesting things like people getting pregnant when they didn't plan to, etc. Halachically, birth control pills are, and by pills, I don't mean dafka pills, I mean all hormonal forms of birth control, meaning any birth control that has a hormone, whether it's a pill or a patch or a ring, or even an IUD. IUD is called intrauterine device, means they just stick something into your uterus and leave it there, and it prevents you from getting pregnant. Until recently, the IUD was just a piece of copper. It prevented you from getting pregnant. Scientists didn't know why a piece of copper in your uterus prevented you from getting pregnant. I don't know, there's competing theories, but no doubt that it works. Nowadays, they have a new kind of IUD called Mirena, which is a piece of plastic. The plastic doesn't keep you from getting pregnant, but it has hormones in it that keep you from getting pregnant. Any hormonal birth control has two potential drawbacks. Number one, even from a secular perspective, many women cannot stand hormonal birth control because it has side effects. Hormones can have side effects. Most women don't have side effects. Some women do. Some women, they use any of these hormonal forms of birth control, it can create unbearable side effects. It can be psychological side effects, make them crazy. It can be physical side effects. So all hormonal birth control has the risk of side effects. I don't mean someone's going to die. I'm sure on the package it says you might die because like there's a 1 in 10 million chance that someone will die, so like in China someone will die, but they don't want to get sued. But I mean there are serious side effects that can make your life miserable. And that's, by the way, where you get a lot of chomer shailas in terms of hotzas derech lebatala. A woman comes, says, I can't get pregnant for whatever reason. Let's assume it's a good reason. Assume the doctor told her it's dangerous to get pregnant. So what do you say? Okay, use birth control. Say, if I use the hormonal birth control, it makes my life unbearable. So now this is not what we're learning right now, but it becomes a fascinating shaila. So what's she supposed to do? If she can't get pregnant and she can't use anything with hormones, then how does she do birth control? Well, there are lots of things that will stop the zera from going in. Diaphragm, condom, etc. Okay, all those things are potentially a problem with hotzar zera levatala. And then you get all kinds of interesting shaylos, which maybe we'll deal with another time, but not right now. The other problem with hormonal birth control, besides things that apply to all 9 billion people on the planet, or 4.5 billion women on the planet, the other problem of hormonal birth control is that the most common side effect of hormonal birth control, of all kinds, of anything with a hormone in it, no matter what it is, the most common side effect, which in the secular community is not considered to be a side effect because it's harmless, is that it could cause spotting. It could cause, and spotting defined liberally, meaning could be big spotting. It's not going to cause a full period. That's the whole point. It prevents you from getting your period. But the hormones could affect the, a doctor explained how, I don't know how. The hormones won't make you get a real period, but will have an effect on the uterus because they're hormones that will make it the uterine lining bleed to a small extent. And that creates the big problem with Hilchos Nida. If you find an old rabbi, find a rabbi who's 90 years old and ask him, when you were a starting out rabbi, did you get shilas in Hilchos Nida? The rabbi will tell you, Not really so much. Like, what's the shaila? When a woman got her period, she got her period. Then she had to get shiva nikiyem. So sometimes they weren't sure if this day was good or she had to wait till the next day and they would ask a shaila. And then most of the time they would probably just wait the next day on their own, you know, rather than tirchav ask the shaila, what's the big deal? And whoever got, you know, what was the big deal in Hilchos Nida? Hilchos Nida was shmizi when I was a kid. Because a woman only bled once a month. And you bleed once a month, you're a Nida, you're also for 12 days. You know, unless there's some rare disease, why do you have to have a lot of shailas? Once in a blue moon, but not a lot of shailas. The rabbi will tell you. But nowadays, Hilchos Nida is crazy. Nowadays, and you know what he might very well say? And in the old days, I was just machbar on everything. What's the big deal? So the woman will have 13 days a month to avoid any chash? It was very easy to be a posikivask in Hilchos Nida when I was a kid. Say, but nowadays, are you kidding? Women are bleeding all month long. You know, if you're not makel for them all the time, then they'll be Nida 365 days a year. Because nowadays, with birth control, it has this significant side effect, and it's really the bane of Hilchos Nida. All problems nowadays are caused by hormonal birth control. Not to say it's not worth it in circumstances, you know, you have to look at, but it actually is like a big challenge. The big difference between before I was born, Hilchos Nida, and, you know, I think I was born after they invented the pill. I'm pretty sure. Before I was born, Hilchos Nida, and nowadays, Hilchos Nida. Nowadays, Hilchos Nida, you have Chomer Shilos all month long, basically, and it's very often the woman will get her period, plus bleed one smack in the middle of the month, which means that if she's Tmeya, that's 12 and 12, which is basically the whole month. So it's okay. That's just an interesting historical tidbit.
No one used birth control ever.
What?
It used to be that no one.
No, it used to be they hadn't invented it yet.
Kind of
what? No. There were other forms of birth control before the 60s, but they weren't hormonal. Not necessarily. First of all, back 100 years ago, everyone just got pregnant all the time. Why didn't everyone have 15 kids? The answer is because 2/3 of them died in infancy back in the day. Yeah, if you ask, in the 1300s, why didn't everyone have 20 kids? The answer is they didn't get pregnant 20 times, but like 17 of them died. So they were lucky if they had three. Now, if you were rich, then you had more kids because, like, they didn't all die because you could afford to give everyone enough food and et cetera, and doctors, et cetera. Okay, but what happened before the 60s? Before the 60s, you could meet people from before the 60s and they had less kids. Before the 60s, there was already birth control, but it wasn't hormonal. There were condoms, which are not really for firm yidden. There was what the Catholics did, still do if there are any. I mean, there aren't that many firm Catholics left in America, but the few who want birth control, of just trying to avoid the time of the month when you're fertile. Not super effective. But there are diaphragms, which the woman sticks something in to herself, which blocks the zera, and then she also puts some spermicide on it. I don't know when they invented that. And there was an IUD, I'm pretty sure, was before the birth control pill, a non-hormonal IUD, just put a piece of copper in the uterus. And there was permanent sterilization, which is obviously an usur, malpi Torah, can't even do it to animals. But which is also, like, so if you ask, why did people, you know, who are like 80 years old only have three kids in their family? The answer probably is that, you know, they had three kids and then got permanent sterilization or, you know, whatever form they had in those days. But none of that had Hashpan Hilchos Nida. I'm not talking about Zerah Levatala and Peru Ruvu. In terms of Hilchos Nida, any form of birth control that doesn't have hormones is generally, the copper IUD has some slight effect on periods, but not a problematic one. You know, might make your period a day longer. But it's not going to, you know, that's not going to break the bank. So that is just a historical tidbit, something very fascinating, and that's the biggest challenge nowadays. Nowadays, basically, like, if you're a posik in the real world, you have to stretch to be mako for so many people because they're on the pill, and the pill will make them be a nida all month long if, you know, they don't get a rabbi who's willing to be mako.
Based on how birth control pill works, why would it be a best as a cook and not a flood?
So hold that thought for a moment. Okay, let me mention one other thing. Two other things. First of all, this is a very posh thing. All college teachers, I hope, teach this. The birth control pills, they're actually ways of minimizing the bleeding side effects. One is to have a higher dose. Nowadays, in the medical community, you want the lowest dose of everything, because like the less artificial hormones, drugs, etc., the better. But if you have a higher dose, that often prevents the bleeding. The other is to take it exactly 24 hours apart. Sometimes a woman, if they take their pill 2 hours late, then that'll cause them to have bleeding because it'll somehow mess up their system. I'm not a doctor, I'm not all a doctor to understand why. Anyway, these are just some tips that it's important to know if a woman does have bleeding. First of all, there are ways to control it. There's actually an organization called something. And I have their business card on my phone, but I'm old and I don't know where pictures are on my phone. Yeah, no chance. Yeah, maybe it's not on my phone. It's on something electronic somewhere in the world.
Rolodex.
Rolodex.
Yes,
Rolodex
are great.
Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Nope. It's. I think it's here. Ah, yes. It's in a file called Important Pictures. That's the extent of my. I'm sure there's a better way to do it. But it's called Taharenu, which is like some like, I don't know if they're Hasidish or Yeshivish or whatever, because they, you can talk to someone in Hebrew, English, or Yiddish. And they give people advice on how to minimize staining, on how to minimize staining, minimize side effects of staining so that they can stay tahar. Their hashgafa is, there's a lot of rabbis out there who know to give people big kulas b'shas adchak, but lechachila, make it not a shas adchak. Sounds very fascinating. People, someone wants, I will send out the business card. Anyway, that's just an interesting thing nowadays. It's one of the big challenges of Hilchos Nida nowadays, is this. Okay, now, what about, answer Effie's question, back to the history. At a certain point, the doctors discovered, scientists discovered, that you didn't need to get your period every month. The FDA is always very careful about these things. I think they might only authorize getting your period every 3 months, not sure. Most doctors say nowadays you can get your period however often, frequently or infrequently you want, and it won't be bad for your health. Again, obviously, we're talking about people on birth control. If you're trying to get pregnant, then you either get pregnant or get your period every month. But assuming you don't want to get pregnant anyway, most doctors nowadays say do whatever you want. And basically, you can just take more than 21 days of real pill before you get your period. And so nowadays, some people do. They'll say, I don't want to get my period so often. And they'll take, 3 months or 6 months or whatever. Or they'll do it month by month, but they'll say, it's not a convenient time for me now. I'm going to like double up packs, throw out the 7 and double up the 21 because I'm going on vacation, etc. Very, very common thing. Rav Meir said in Daf Lamed Aleph that why did the Torah say a woman should be a nida once a month? Because he shouldn't be married for a long time and lose interest in his wife. The Torah said she's Tmeya for 7 days. Okay, nowadays we call her Zera. And then when she goes to the mikvah, she'll be chaviva on her husband, like the day she entered the chuppah. And that's psychologically very, very poshut. You don't need to be a Tana to figure that out. It makes a lot of sense, right? Some things forbidden, then you have more of a desire for it when it comes back. Okay, so what about that? Unclear. As nowadays, that's not necessarily a halachic obligation. So someone decides that they don't want the Eitzah Tova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then, or they have good reason to not want, whatever it may be, then it's not a halacha, it's just a psychological insight. So, Lemaisa, okay, so that's the answer to Effie's question. Why do I say birth control is more of a Veses HaGuf than a Haflaga? Because you don't have to have an exact 28-day cycle of your birth control, right? It's, you can have whatever you want. So one of the posts assume nowadays that birth control, of course, is a real veses, because it's the best veses. It actually plays with your hormones. And therefore, what do we assume? Let's say a woman's on birth control pills. What's her real veset? Her real veset is when she starts taking, when she stops taking the real pills, or takes off the patch or ring or whatever, when she stops the hormones, X hours afterwards, she will get her period. Now, every woman is different. Could be 24, could be 96, could be 72, whatever, you know. Couple days afterwards. And usually women will be regular. Like, the same woman will be like the same amount of time after she stops the hormones, she will get her period. So Lamaisa, what do we assume nowadays? If a woman's on birth control pills, then she will have a vesis kavua of, when she stops taking the hormones, that will bring about their period.
Most women do have vesis kavuas nowadays, Lamaisa.
Artificial. Basically you can make an artificial vesis kavua. So what do we say? If a woman's on birth control pills, three times she pays attention to when she gets her period. She says, it's always five onos afterwards. Okay? Then she knows that's her vesis kavua. And what if it's always 4 to 6 onos afterwards? Then even though we said earlier in Kuf Pei Daled that it has to be a strict ona, not a range, but in this case, since the birth control pills are so controlling, one should be machmer and say, and if it's a range, then that whole range you should keep as your vesis kavua. Let's say she always gets 2 to 3 days afterwards. Keep that whole range as vesis kavua. Lamaisa, when you're artificially controlling a birth control pill, you should be a little more machmer because you know there's such a strong mechanism here and there's no coincidences. What about the first month on the pill?
Meaning so 2 days when she stopped taking the pill.
Yeah. What about the first time she's on the pill? It's a great question. What about the first time she's on the pill? She doesn't know what her vesis is yet, so that's machlokes poskim. Some poskim say the first time she's on the pill, she should keep her old vestos. Habeninus and afloga and chodesh, because she hasn't been kobeah the first 2 months. She hasn't been kobeah the first 3 months, until she's kobeah 3 times. Rabbi Willig says no. Rabbi Willig says the pill is an absolute override. There's no way the old vestos are going to affect you, for the pill is like being pregnant. It overrides your old vestos. So it says very well, like, it doesn't matter what happened before you started the pill. Once you start the pill, your only vesis is the pill. But you don't know exactly when it'll be. So then, one should be machmer misafik. After all, it's kedai to be machmer misafik when you have such a strong scientific mechanism. You know, it's not like machmer misafik because, like, maybe there's a sheet out there. Like, you know it's going to be in a very short range of time based on, like, mukhar science that you yourself did. So therefore, okay, so maybe 2 days after you should start being machmer. And then you'll see what your pattern is. So halach lemaisa, even though it's a machlok, is a poskim now, among contemporary poskim, we say if you start taking the pill, it erases all your old vestos. It's like being pregnant. Now, what if you start taking the pill, take the pill for 2 years, and then stop? If you had a vesis kavua beforehand, it comes back. Because you were never oker it. You created a new situation. If you have vesis eino kavua, then you don't have to worry about it. Because you never have to remember vesis eino kavua so long. So halach lemaisa, if someone starts taking a pill, now their vestos are only based on the pill. Because only the pill will make them get or not get their period, and the first month they should be choshesh. You know, there are different kinds of pills, etc. They all say you'll get your period, you know, X to Y days after. They should be choshesh to be b'chumra, to be on the safe side, and then they'll develop a clear pattern. But they don't have to worry about their old vestos. But if they had a vestos kavua, they should write it down and save it for when they stop taking the pill.
Why are they not ochre it? The next 3 months.
Because when you're pregnant, you're not ochre your old vesis. Because you have a physical thing that changes the way your body works. So here also, you weren't ochre your vesis. That's how your body works. You just physically did something that overrides the way your body works. So you're not ochre. Let's say you have a vesis of haflug of 35. And you uprooted 3 times on the pill. Doesn't matter. It's not uprooted. Because that doesn't count as uprooting. It's like uprooting it 3 times when you're pregnant. No, when you have something that artificially interferes with your system, that's not uprooting.
A woman sees down, let's say today, and then she has a onabandus. If she starts taking the pill 2 weeks from now, then she doesn't need to keep that onabandus anymore?
That's what Ebulu says, correct. I'm not saying everyone agrees, but that's what we say. Yes. Lamaisa, yes. Sorry, when I say that's what Erwilik says, I mean that's what Erwilik says, and I paskin that lamaisa. And it makes sense, because like we all know the only being is irrelevant when she's taking a pill. It just depends on the pill. Like it's a scientific fact. So that was a bit of a tangent. Now let's see if we can hop a little more Shulchan Aruch If we can hop a little more Shulchan Aruch in the next 10 minutes, I would like to. Chaf Dalet. Can we hop a little more Shulchan Aruch? Maybe. Chaf Dalet. The Kulam in Choshem El L'Shaitan. Veses HaGof, when is the time? Says the Shulchan Aruch, only during the Veses. Remember, in calendrical Vestos, it was a whole day or a whole night. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Vestos HaGof, it's only during the symptom. If she was, you always see, she's a pattern three times of seeing at the beginning of flatulating, she's a sure for the beginning of flatulating. If she only sees after an hour of flatulating, she's only usher after an hour of flatulating. It's only the exact time. However, only if she only bleeds during the symptom, which is not the typical case nowadays. But if she starts bleeding during the symptom and continues bleeding after the symptom, then she's asur from the beginning of the veses for a whole ona. Obviously, she can't be asur before the symptom happens because she doesn't know what'll happen. But let's say she has no pattern of days. Just whenever she has pihuk, she bleeds without a pattern of days. Then, if she always bleeds at the beginning of Pihok, only, she's usher from the beginning of Pihok. She bleeds only at the end of Pihok, she's usher at the end of Pihok. But if she starts bleeding during Pihok and continues bleeding after the Pihok, then she's usher during the Pihok and the rest of the Ona. Okay, the lungus behind this is not 100% clear. But Lamaisa, that's how we paskin. The Shah here says something which is very hard to understand. Of course, the Achronim have different pshatim to try to make sense of the Shach. But each of these pshatim has to add a lot of words to the Shach that he didn't say. So, you know, it's guesswork. What does the Shach say? Well, he says it's the same if she always starts bleeding before the flatulence, then she's asur from the beginning of the Ona before the flatulence. The problem is, this Sif is talking about when it's not a fixed day. How do we know? Because the next Sif is a fixed day. How can we say she's asur before the flatulence? If there's not a fixed day, she's not a Navi. She doesn't know when it will happen. So obviously the Shach couldn't have meant that. What the Shach meant, nobody knows, meaning everyone has a theory, but they're all guesswork. So we'll just ignore the Shach, Sif Chav Samach Aleph. Sif Chav Hei. Im Echad Me'elu Balaz Man Yodua, Az Vadei Asur Kol Onas HaVesko Veses Yamim Greida. If one of these Veses HaGof comes Morkav with a Zman, then that's what we have for the Chavos Das there, then she's Asur the whole Ona. Meaning Sif Chav Dal was only if it wasn't a fixed time. If there's a fixed time, she's asur the whole Ona. Why? Because she never knows when she'll start burping. You know what? Can you get the board for me, Ellie, again? Apologize, I wrote more on it.
Okay.
So, let's just put this on the board. If she has... If she has a veses kavua, one case is pihok on random days, then it depends. If she only bleeds during pihok, then she's only refrains during pihok. Not only that, only during the time of the pihok she bleeds. But if, like the case nowadays, she bleeds during and after Pihuk, then she refrains during and after for how long? Until the end of the Ona, meaning the day or the night. That's Chaf Dalet. What's Chaf Hei? Veses Kavua for Pihuk and Yomim, Morkav. Only for Pihuk on Rosh Chodesh. Then she refrains the whole day. Whole day, obviously, in Ona, daytime or nighttime. Right? Because she never knows when she'll start having Pihuk. That was what we had here. Three times on the same day, Kavua Morkav, but technically she has to refrain from Tashmis the whole day because she never knows when she'll start having Pihuk. The Taz here points out a problem. There's a steer in the Ravid. The Mukher, this is the Ravid, but the Ravid himself says, even if it's a fixed day, She only has to refrain during the pihuk. So that is a that is a stira. What's the stira? From the Ravid. The stira in the Ravid is Veses Morkov Lipihok Uliyamim, says the Ravid. She has to refrain the whole Ona. Says the Ravid, only during Pihok. Okay, Stira, in the Ravid. Not in the Shomar, only in the Ravid. How do you answer the Stira? The Taz makes a Chiddush, which he now paskins the Halacha. It's not just theoretical Stira in the Ravid. Says the Taz, a Chiddush le Halacha. Says they're talking about different halves. Says the Taz, no, he means she has to refrain after the pihuk for the rest of the ona. But she doesn't have to refrain before the pihuk. And he says, no, when the rabbi says the whole ona, he means from pihuk till the end. Even if it's morkov, in which case it becomes similar to not morkov. When he says not the whole ona, he means not the beginning. The Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef says, not true, you read the Ravid's inside, and it's very clear that's not what he's saying. Here he's saying the whole Ona before and after, here he's saying not the whole Ona, not before and not after. So what does the Nekudas HaKesef says? He says something which is a little weird, but might be shot in the Ravid. He says, no, this is a case of a real Veses Morkov, and this is a case where it's not a real Veses Kavua, Veses Morkov Kavua. And this is the case where it's not a real Nesikoa. What is this case? Three times she had Pihuk on Rosh Chodesh, but only once or twice, obviously, she had Pihuk on Rosh Chodesh and bled. Yeah, she has Pihuk all the time on Rosh Chodesh, but only once did she bleed, so it's really Eino Kavua, right? Because if she didn't bleed, that doesn't count, right? So he says, really, equals Veses She'eino Kavua. And that's the right method. In Veses Kavua, she has to refrain the whole day. And in Veses She'eino Kavua, she only has to refrain during the pihuk. And, says the Shach himself, how do we paskin? We paskin. We don't paskin like the Taz. We also don't paskin like the Nekudas HaKesef shot in the Ravid. He says, I think I have the right shot in the Ravid, but the mice, I don't paskin like that. Why? Because I already said, if she had once Piyuk and Rosh Chodesh and bled, she's Choseshes separately for Piyuk and separately for Rosh Chodesh. Which means when Rosh Chodesh comes, she has to keep the whole day of Rosh Chodesh, regardless of Piyuk. So I don't paskin like the Ravid. So we paskin like neither shot in the Ravid. We paskin, if three times she has Piyuk and Rosh Chodesh and bleeds, she has to porish the whole Rosh Chodesh in case she's going to burp all of a sudden. If once she's Pihuk on Rosh Chodesh and bleeds, then she has to be Choshesh the first time she has Pihuk, regardless when, and the first Rosh Chodesh, regardless of how she feels. So much for Chav Hei, let's do Chav Vav, and then we're finished this Inyan, because the rest of the seven is about a different Inyan, about women who are Misulokos Gamim, too young, too old, too pregnant, too nursing to get their period. But the last one about Veses Haguf, Shem Shechoshesh Lesa Yomim Pam Achas, Kach Choshesh Veses Haguf Pam Achas. Just like there's Veses Shein Kavua by days, there's Veses Shein Kavua by Veses Haguf. Keitzad, Haysam Fahekes Pam Achas, she once burped a lot. For Rasa and Bled, Shefai Pam Acheres Choshesh Lo. Next time she burped, she has to be Choshesh. Shem Shevesa Yom Shein Kavua Neker Pam Achas, Shafila Rasa Shtei Pam Yom Yodua Megiyaz Man Shlishi Vla Rasa Neker Lagamri. Just like a Veses of days, if it happened once or twice, it's Neker once. She saw Rosh Chodesh, next Rosh Chodesh she was clean, uprooted. She saw two Rosh Chodeshes, next Rosh Chodesh she was clean, uprooted. Kachu Veses Haguf. If she burped once and saw, and next burping she was clean, uprooted. She burped twice and saw, and next burping was clean, it's uprooted. Ukashem Shevesa Yama Kavu B'Shalosh Pa'amim Tzarchakir Shalosh Pa'amim Ubdika Kenu Veses Kavu B'Guf. Just like a Veses of days, after three times, it needs to be uprooted. You need to not have it three times to uproot it. And Bidi Evan, you need B'Dika afterwards. So to Veses Haguf, it happened three times, you need three times to uproot it. And if you didn't do a B'Dika, you need a B'Dika afterwards, Bidi Evan. So when is it Nekar? The thing happens and she doesn't bleed. What if she had a Veses Morkov? Eino necker elam kein baha mikra shalosh pa'am bizmano v'lo rasa. Avav mikra levada bizman levada shlo rasa v'im eino necker. And here we just have to point out what the Pesachei Tshuva says. It's a cut in Chav Zayin in the name of the Sidrei Taran Chavos Das. Because anyone who knows how to think logically would have said this on their own. But just in case you're not in the mood to think logically, we will put it outside, but we'll put it here. What if she now has a... She starts out with three times pihuk v'rosh chodesh v'rasa. Then what could happen? If she has three times pihuk v'rosh chodesh v'lo rasa, then it's nekar. The only way to nekar is to have the same circumstances, right? Like the Rambam Tshuva Shlema. You need the same circumstance to be oker. What if three times she had pihuk be'emtza hachodesh v'lo rasa? Then that's not oker anything. The Vesas is pihuk rosh chodesh. Pihuk not in rosh chodesh, not part of the Vesas. Or what if she had three times rosh chodesh b'li pihuk v'lo rasa? Also lo nefkar. The Vesas is pihuk rosh chodesh. She had rosh chodesh, now pihuk, that's not oker. Very common sense. Says the Pesachei Tshuva Chav Sivkat and Chav Zayin, quoting the Sidrei Taran L'Chavos Das, something very logical. He says, it's not Nekar, but... This is the Pesachei Tshuva, according to the Achronim, and no one can argue on this because it's logical. But she doesn't have to refrain from Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh anymore. Meaning, she still has a Vesas Kavua, that Piyuk on Rosh Chodesh is a Vesas Kavua. But until now, she had to refrain every Rosh Chodesh, because she thought she might have Piyuk. Now, three Rosh Chodesh to go by without Piyuk, she doesn't have to refrain. Meaning, if you want to think about this logically, there were two different things that were proven originally. A, is that every Piyuk in Rosh Chodesh causes blood. This is still true. Three times there's no pihuk rosh chodesh, but every pihuk rosh chodesh still causes blood. But B, every rosh chodesh, she has pihuk. This is no longer true. Right? It's true that pihuk rosh chodesh still causes blood, because we haven't disproven it even once. But it's not true that every rosh chodesh she has pihuk. Therefore, if she has pihuk rosh chodesh, it's still a veses. But she doesn't have to refrain on rosh chodesh, because ben astam, she won't have pihuk. It's just logical thinking. That's the last thing we're going to learn. And we'll pick up, we'll have one more shiur before the Chazara, before the Bechina, which will be on the Tinokas and Zakena and Uberis and Menekas, who are Mesulakos Damen.
If a Vesas comes back after being dormant for a while, we
yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, and just to remind you, Thursday, Midrashiyah, right after Mincha, we will have, hopefully, Shimush.